Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Is healthy food killing you? Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me in the studio today, along with my co-host, Linda C., as we look into our lifestyle article for January. This article is called Nutrition by Numbers. Linda, in the little intro teaser there, I said healthy food might be killing you or something like that. It's not exactly killing you. It's more like torturing you.
You're right, right. Yeah, right? I was a little puzzled by
I kind of misspoke, maybe.
Okay.
But not if you come back tomorrow, because there is sort of an element of danger in tomorrow's lesson. Listeners, unlike most of our lifestyle articles, this one is actually two lessons covering 2 days. They're distinct lessons about different topics. And so that's a little unusual for Advanced, but it's not too different from something like Newsworthy Clips.
No, it's something that we do often.
Yeah, we do it.
If they're related, and they are related.
It's not a mistake. Yeah, if we do it. Okay, so anyway, Nutrition by the Numbers. Our article for today is called Tyranny of the Calorie. Now, that word tyranny there, Linda, I believe we're teaching people what it means. What does tyranny mean to you?
Well, I think of a type of government in which there is a tyrant running it, or some type of control system. But here, tyranny means that it's something that limits your freedom to do things the way you want to do.
Linda, you said a tyranny was a government run by a tyrant.
That's what I thought of. Yes, that's what I thought of. A control
system.
That's
cheating, though. You just used the root of the word to explain the word. What's a tyrant?
A tyrant is someone who does and insists that their way is done.
I think probably the common name for it in politics is like a dictator.
Yes.
Right? Or it's like a person who is a cruel leader. That's the idea. They kind of limit your rights and oppress you in some way.
Yes, they don't care about the people that they are over or their employees. Yeah. They just do things the way they want to do, regardless.
Well, and the key words there that I would say are like limit or oppress you in some way, because that's really how tyranny is being used here. Right? Mm-hmm. They're talking about calories. You know what calories are.
Yes.
Our listeners must know what calories are too. Calories, of course, those are the little, let's call them the little unit of measuring how fat the food is going to make you. Does that sound appropriate? That's not exactly what it is, right?
No.
But that's what we think of them as. And so you can imagine right away what tyranny of a calorie would be. You know, it's like you're checking the labels on everything to see how many calories, and people are counting their calories to try to help them lose weight and maintain a healthy diet, that sort of thing. And after a while, it just becomes difficult.
Yeah, it's something that might end up controlling your life. Yeah, something that is tyrannical, controls you.
Are you a calorie counter?
I used to be. As a kid.
As a kid?
Yes, ironically. I was very, very aware of how many calories or how many grams of fat were in the food. I don't know. I was just obsessed with it. I loved reading nutrition labels.
At one point. That tracked
calories.
But I had questions about how accurate it was.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's like you're entering, you know, tuna sandwich.
Right. But you have to be specific. You have to tell it exactly how much, like the weight of your tuna sandwich.
Yeah, and that sort of thing.
Then it'll be more accurate.
The point being, it gets to be a lot of work.
Right.
Right? Which kind of limits you because it takes your free time. It oppresses you because it has you worrying about these things. That's basically what we're going to be talking about today. But really, I don't know how much of this is about being tyrannized by calories, and how much of it is about the story of the calorie. right? Because there's sort of a dimension of this article that's kind of history of science, if you will. Anyway, listeners, we're going to do three readings today. If you have your magazine, I would encourage you to open it up and join us in the first reading as we do it together now.
Nutrition by numbers. Have we stopped eating for joy? Tyranny of the calorie. No matter what dishes are on the table, one word will float through everyone's mind. Calories. How many? How sinful? How soon to the gym? The word is extremely useful. Calories help us visualize ourselves and our physical exertions numerically. I had so much of this, so I need to work it out by expending that much energy. When pop idols divulged their favorite recipes in celebrity magazines, complete with caloric measurements, we can become a little more like them by ingesting the same numbers. But it's a slippery concept.
All right, here we go, Linda. We've got a situation here. It doesn't matter what dishes are on the table, one word will float through everyone's mind. Calories. That's a big claim. Mm-hmm. I do not think the word calorie would float through my mind at most meals.
Well, if you are nutrition conscious or you are worried about weight, then that is something that will be on your mind.
Interesting. Interesting. Is the calorie your preferred unit of measurement?
Yes.
See, I think in sugar.
Oh, grams of sugar.
Because I lost a lot of weight by cutting out sugar at one point.
Okay. So you're looking more at sugar content.
So I tend to think about like the sugar content. Yeah. Interesting, hey? Mm. I wonder how much variation there is among people. Listeners, if you think in calories when you think about food, let us know on the social media. If you think in some other sort of unit, or if you don't ever think about it at all, let us know that too. That would be kind of interesting. We might do an informal poll. It tells us here that people are going to be thinking about how many calories, how sinful, and how soon to the gym. Well, the gym is obvious, right? Because if you eat a lot of calories, you have to burn them off, right? By exercising. What's the sinful part?
Well, we associate eating like really good food or junk food or really fattening food as a sin. We feel guilty for eating those foods, so might feel it's sinful.
Traditionally, in Western culture, we talk about there being seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name them all, can you?
Well, one is gluttony.
One is gluttony, and that's the one that is related to,
to our
eating
article, yes.
in an uncontrolled manner. It's kind of like greed. But for food, gluttony is, right?
I think greed is another.
Greed is another one, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's these seven deadly sins. So if you're eating too much rich food, you're committing the sin of gluttony. And that's why they're connecting it here to this word sinful. This idea that if you eat rich food or fancy food or decadent food or too much dessert or whatever, you are actually committing a sin. It tells us the word. Now, the word here, of course, is calorie, is extremely useful. It tells us calories help us visualize ourselves and our physical exertions numerically. When I read this, Linda, visualize ourselves. How do you visualize yourself in terms of calories?
Well, you picture your figure, yourself, either maybe growing, your weight increasing, your waistline increasing.
Okay.
Or picture yourself working out.
The physical exertions one is easy here, right? Because it's like when you're exercising, they routinely tell you how many calories you burn per hour doing this exercise, right? I mean, if you have like a fitness tracker app or something, it will tell you how many calories you've burned by walking that day or whatever. So that part, the physical exertion just means kind of the exercise, the movement, the use of energy through your body. In terms of visualizing yourself, if I had to guess, your answer was interesting there, and you might be right, because we're kind of speculating here, listeners. This isn't laid out clearly for us. But I would have guessed here, I know it at one point in our next reading, they're basically going to tell you how many calories the average man should consume per day, how many calories the average woman should consume per day. And so that's what I kind of imagined. Like thinking of yourself
number.
As a number, and your number is being consumed every time you put something, you know, your number is running down. Like, oh, I have 300 calories left. What can I eat for 300 calories? But I don't know, that's just guessing sort of on our part. It's an interesting phrase. They go on to say, we have like a quote. This is not really a quote. It's sort of someone speaking here. I had so much of this, so I need to work it out by expending that much energy. That's the thinking we kind of go through. Then it goes on to pop idols divulging their favorite recipes in celebrity magazines. Linda, have you ever read celebrity magazines?
I have, yes.
See, I have not, and I did not know pop idols divulged their favorite recipes.
I mean, some of them have written cookbooks, so you
Seriously?
Get to see like what recipes they use. Or, I mean, it might not be the actual recipes they use, but it's a cookbook or a recipe that they say they use.
I'm glad you're here, Linda. This reminds me of that English saying, you don't know what you don't know. You know, like if you don't know something, you don't know that you don't know it. I did not know any of this about pop idols. Okay, so I guess the idea here, Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to use the text here. Basically, these idols divulge. So basically, they tell the reporter or the writer. It's when we say divulge, the idea is like you're telling a secret.
Exactly.
So yeah. it's like they have a secret favorite recipe
yeah.
that they're sharing mm-hmm. with the magazine.
They're revealing to us.
For yeah. all of their fans to see. And when the magazine writes this down, they're going to share like, you know, the cooking instructions, I assume.
Right. So you can do it yourself at home.
That's right. And they're also going to share the nutritional information, including the caloric measurements. Caloric there is the adjective of calorie.
Mm-hmm.
So we can become a little more like them by ingesting the same numbers.
Mm.
That's kind of a playing with words there, right? Because you're actually just eating the same food they eat. Mm-hmm. You're not eating numbers, but you are eating the same number of calories.
Exactly.
Dun, dun, dun. It then goes on to tell us that this is a slippery concept. And this is where we kind of get into our history of science part here. We're going to get into that as we jump into our second reading.
History of the calorie. First, it's really only been used for food since the late 19th century. In 1887, Wilbur Olin Atwater, an American chemist, proposed using the measure. The amount of heat which would raise the temperature of a kilogram of water 1 degree centigrade for the energy contained in food. Atwater had calculated the fuel value per pound of various cuts of meat. For example, beef rump, very lean, had an average of 710 calories per pound. The capital C is important. Simply put, 1,000 calories made up one calorie. But the calorie, big or little, isn't officially scientific anymore. The word that is de rigueur in scientific circles since 1948 is joules. Atwater's pound of beef flesh would be 2,970,640 joules.
All right. So we have this history laid out for us here, Linda. It tells us that this is kind of a new thing, right?
Well, since it's been around since the late 19th century.
Okay, now that's not the measurement of the calorie that's been around since then. That's the using this measurement for food.
Mm.
Because it was originally used for something else, right? Presumably chemists doing experiments, you know, obviously during the time of the Enlightenment, when science was emerging, you had all kinds of different people basically as amateurs working away in their homes and their basements and their workshops. And so there was a big movement during that time through organizations like the Royal Society to standardize the way people were doing things so that other people could replicate or repeat or copy those experiments and work further with them, right? So that basically scientists could communicate. So they were developing all of these units of measurement. And what was the calorie developed for?
The amount of heat which would raise the temperature of a kilogram of water 1 degree centigrade.
Okay.
We're talking about Celsius here.
So it's, they've kind of got like a practical way of measuring energy use there, really, right? Okay, fair enough. So this idea of this measurement for energy, in 1887, it tells us a guy named Wilbur Olin Atwater, who was an American chemist, proposed that they use this to describe the energy contained in food. So presumably the idea being, you know, you eat food so you have energy, but how much energy is in each piece of food you eat? There was no real way to measure this, and so the calorie was a convenient measurement for energy, and so there you go, we can use this calorie. It said Atwater had calculated the fuel value per pound of various cuts of meat. So what did he found there, Linda?
So he found that beef rump, which was very lean, it had an average of 710 calories per pound.
Okay. It then goes on to tell us that, I guess this is kind of like, well, how would you describe this? A matter of style that has meaning to it. You know how when we capitalize names, we often tell people we capitalize names because names are important,
mm-hmm.
right? So we capitalize important things.
It's a proper noun.
Yeah, I suppose this is the same sort of thing, a stylistic thing that matters. In this case, it tells us the capital C on the calorie is important because 1,000 calories with a lowercase c
mm-hmm.
are one calorie with a big C.
Right.
Yeah.
So one calorie capital C is a kilocalorie.
Yeah. You actually do see that measurement too, don't you? Yeah. Okay. So a kilocalorie or a capital C calorie, it says it isn't scientifically, you know, important anymore, basically. And actually, I think you can see why when you look at the big C, little C calorie, right? If I had to guess, I would say what they discovered was they were working with smaller and smaller amounts of energy as they refined their methods, right? So, for example, if you have one calorie, when you're measuring, you know, a rump of beef, you can say 710. That's a big enough number. I can work with that number. But what happens when you're working with a tiny piece of meat that is only one calorie, and then you want to divide it in half? All of a sudden, you have 0.5 calories, right? So it's like they've come up with a way to measure smaller things. And that they basically describe as the jewel here. Now, Linda, I want to say I wanted to thank you for reading this for us. You made a very admirable attempt at that French term there. You really did. When I heard you say it, I was like, I don't know how you say that, because this one, as with many French things, I think, Linda, you sort of said de rigueur.
De rigueur, yeah.
De rigueur,
mm-hmm.
yeah. If you are in Ohio, for example, listeners, you're going to hear people say de rigueur.
Yeah,
de
yeah.
rigueur. So Linda made an admirable effort at doing the word properly for you there. You'll hear English speakers really mess up the pronunciation of this word because it's not naturally English. But what it effectively means is what, Linda?
That in scientific circles, the standard unit is joules.
Yeah, it's like regular. Common, the standardized used method, de rigueur. Okay, and so it's the joules, and you can sort of see why, right? Because it is a much smaller, it measures much smaller amounts of energy. So that 710 calories per pound translates into 2,970,640 joules.
Right.
So effectively, you can measure much smaller things.
Right. So one calorie, lowercase c, equals 4.2 joules.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, that brings us to the end of our history of the calorie. Now we're going to get into the writer's speculation on what exactly is going on here. Linda, you want to do our third reading for us?
Sure.
Here to stay? I'm pretty certain the persistence of calorie is because it's easier to swallow than joules. Caloric numbers are easier to grasp when the recommended daily calories to be consumed are 2,500 and 2,000 for the average male and female, respectively. Still, there is a tyranny to calories. Every move we make can be calculated by our smartwatches, with unused energy turning into flab. In ages past, what we dined on was determined to some degree by the seasons and by a sense of the elements around us. There was a philosophy for living that made us more than just equations. There is joy and conviviality that comes with eating. You can't put a number on happiness.
All right. So we've got this question here, Linda. Here to stay. And effectively, I think what they're saying is measuring our food energy by using calories is not going to change anytime soon.
Exactly.
Even though scientists have now moved on, moved forward, right?
Like in our society, we'll continue to use calorie.
It goes on. Basically, the first line you read here said, "I'm pretty certain." Was that you who is pretty certain about this? Was that me?
The author.
It's the author.
Yes, our author.
So this, obviously, the language here using that first person pronoun suggests that the author is giving their opinion here. Now, the author also hedges that opinion by saying, "I'm pretty certain," which means I'm not 100% sure. But I think the persistence of calorie is because it's easier to swallow than joules.
Mm.
Now, I'll be honest here. I thought about what this means for quite a while, and I was tired when I was thinking about it. So this might be absolutely obvious to you. Why is it easier to swallow? What does that mean? What are they talking about?
That it's easier to accept. I'm thinking it's used figuratively here because the number of calories is going to be smaller than the number of joules.
Oh, how did you know? It took me like 5 minutes to figure that out.
But I like this use of like easier to swallow. Like it is, it's here, it's figurative, but it can also be literal because we're swallowing our food.
Yeah. You know, like if you have to swallow a pill from the doctor, right? And you get a little pill, it's easier to swallow than a big pill,
exactly.
Right? So when something's easy to swallow, it means it's easier to take in, mm-hmm. easier to adapt to, accept. That's right. So the part I couldn't figure out here was why calories were easier to swallow. But why is it easier to accept? Because when you eat that piece of meat, it's only 710 calories. If you eat that same piece of meat and it's 2,970-something thousand joules, you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to weigh 1,000 pounds. You're going to be dealing with real depression very quickly, particularly if you're concerned about this sort of thing. Caloric numbers are easier to grasp when the recommended daily calories to be consumed are 2,500 and 2,000 for the average male and female, respectively. So the point being, it's much easier to work with the number 2,500 than whatever the number of joules would be, right?
Millions of joules it would be.
Yeah, millions and millions. Easier to say. So it's like calories are the right-sized measurement for food, even if they aren't the right-sized measurement for chemistry experiments anymore. Okay, so 2,500 to 2,000 for the average man and woman? I've heard that number fluctuates. Have you heard that?
I mean, I imagine it does over the years, but this is what the...
Yeah, you have to be very conscious of how active you are. Right?
That
have you ever had one of those American military meals?
I don't think I have.
They're not that huge.
Okay.
But they're like 3,500 calories a day. But that's because the people who are eating them are running around with like 100 kilograms on their backpack.
So they need more energy.
So this is just sort of a guideline here, listeners. If you are a calorie counter, you'll obviously know that. If you are becoming a calorie counter because of this article, be warned, there's some flexibility there. So the tyranny, we're back to that idea again. It says there's a tyranny to calories. Every move we make can be calculated by our smartwatches, with unused energy turning into flab.
Now,
honestly, that was a little mean.
Want.
That was a little mean. saying flab. What exactly is flab?
Well, we think of it as the loose flesh on our bodies. Basically, I think of it as fat. Like whatever doesn't become muscle, yeah, then it's going to turn to flab.
But it's kind of a gross-sounding word.
Yes, it right? is. It's not. It's not.
It's like an informal way of saying fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, in ages past, what we dined on was determined to some degree by the seasons and by a sense of the elements around us, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that makes sense. Like what was in season, that is what we ate. What we grew is what we ate.
I think what you dined on was also determined by what you had,
mm-hmm,
right? Not just the season, but more broadly, like what you had access to. So there was a philosophy for living that made us more than just equations. Like you eat when you can eat. When there isn't as much food to eat, you don't eat as much, right?
Yes.
It all kind of balanced out. There is a joy and, oh, help me with this word. I know you know how to say it because you read it.
Conviviality.
What is conviviality?
Well, that is the cheerfulness, or in this case, the happiness that we get from eating.
Like, I tend to think of it actually almost as being a socialness, because we often describe it, you might use that word when you're talking about a dinner party with a group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was a
and eating
convivial
is a very social
environment.
Thing. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, because we eat in social settings. We do deals over dinner. We have celebrations, and it always involves food. So food is very much a part of our lives and our social lives.
So I assume this is kind of a warning from the author not to become too consumed with the calorie, to remember that food is also a joy.
Yes, yes. You have to keep that in mind.
Don't. Even if it's killing you.
No, we don't want it to be killing you, but
yeah, we want to
don't
avoid
be
that.
Obsessed with the numbers.
Listeners, tomorrow we're going to be talking about a fast-changing sort of situation, the world of nutritional supplements. We hope you'll be back to join us then. But until then, we're out of time. So, until tomorrow, I'm Simon.
I'm Linda.
Saying goodbye for now.
Goodbye.